97.5, The Fanatic.
You're listening to 97.5, The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. This weekend hour is delivered by Papa John's, new Papadias, hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. So it's Super Sunday. It's also super disappointing that the Sixers fell to the Celtics last night. So now they have two road losses in a row on the road to Atlanta and then Boston with Miami and Milwaukee looming. Their road record is 9-17. We have compared that to others and when you're looking at playoff teams. So all five teams in front of them in the East have superior road record. And when I say superior, better. They all have double-digit wins on the road, and they have nine. And then you have nine teams out West that have a better road record than the Philadelphia 76ers. So it would put them in the unfortunate term of mediocrity. And I don't know how much longer you can say you got to fix this. They have 15 road games left. Even 7-8, you know, still puts you at 16-25 for the year. Now you say, well, maybe they could go 10-5. But when you're 9-17, why am I supposed to believe all of a sudden they're going to be 10-5 on the road? What's changing? So then it gets down to who are they? And what do they look like to you as a group? And when you watch other teams, like last night, I just felt that when Boston wanted a bucket, Boston got a bucket. Actually, I should look and see what they shot from the floor. What did they shoot? From the floor, Boston shot 48%. And both teams were horrific from three. Boston was 8 of 30 and the Sixers were 7 of 33. So you can throw that to the wayside. The Sixers ended up with only, and I do say only, 14 turnovers because amazingly they had 7 in that first quarter and only turned it over 7 more times for the rest of the game. But it lacks something. And I don't know, I'm trying to put my fingerprint on that's what they're missing. The trade deadline is right ahead, Thursday, 3 o'clock. If you don't hear something, it could be in the works. So like, let yourself have a couple hours after the 3 o'clock deadline. But usually those national guys, somebody leaks it to them if it's paperwork that's holding up the team telling you about it. And there's not a whole lot of a big splash that they could make. The biggest thing they have that they could trade, in my opinion, is Josh Richardson, who is currently on the shelf with an injury and still has a very nice contract for the talent that he is. And you say, well, if you say that, why wouldn't you keep him? Well, if I could get a piece that suits my group better, moves it forward in an area that I am so lacking, and I have this because it's really the only thing they have. The rest of it, sure, Zaire's contract is something that you could move, and very few out there believe he's going to ever be a talent of being a lottery pick that he was. Was he a lottery? He might have been just outside. I think he was 16. But, you know, he's just, I'm not going to be sad if he gets moved and he becomes an okay player in the league. It's okay with me. if that gets you something that helps you in the here and now. And the reason that I'm also okay with the Richardson, if it gets you something that significantly improves you in an area that is lacking, and your area that is lacking is your bench, is because could you play a Shake Milton at that two-guard spot and be okay if you now have upgraded your bench in a significant way, a guy that gives you offense, instant offense? I'd be okay with it. I really would. And maybe I just look and say, the guy's been in your system. He got hurt. He got buried. But I think Shake's been okay. I really do. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Will in Boston. Will, were you at that game last night?
Yeah, well, let me first say this. What happened to trusting the process, But
Wait. You can't just throw that out. What do you mean? What happened to trusting the process?
What happened to trusting the process? The whole point of the whole, this is part of the whole process. I know that the 76ers are losing right now, but that's just part of the whole process to get to the greater goal, which is a championship. And I thought that was the whole point. So if you lose a game or so, that's what's going
to
happen.
Well, first, Will, I get to respond, please. Trusting the process, first of all, was a marketing item. And some people, if you want to go to talk to the cult people, that's fine if they want to still talk about trusting a process. But the process ended for me a long time ago. And again, trusting the process was a marketing plan.
Okay, but the fans held up signs. They
That's fine. I'm just telling you from my standpoint, and you're okay. Talking to me, so I'm just telling you. Just throwing that out there. What happened to trusting the process? I'm telling you, trusting the process was a marketing plan to get through 6 years of tanking. They've now been a 50-win team for multiple seasons, and now they're a team that is expected to contend to win the Eastern Conference. So there is no process to this. This is about competing. So was your point calling?
Okay, the point that I wanted to call is just like, a lot of us are hearing, people are blaming Joel Embiid because either he has, he doesn't have the drive, or I don't know what's going on, or, Ben Simmons. The point is that these guys are performing. These guys, generally speaking, they are performing. One thing that we're not talking about, especially when I heard another caller, and we all do agree with them, when he was just like, when you have your first option, then you have your second option. Your first option is to send, you got to send Embiid down, right underneath the rim, then to go second, whatever, right? The point is that if I know that, if you know that, he knows that, Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge know that extremely well. So what they're doing is planning and pushing them at the point of weakness. So we're blaming the 76ers, but why aren't we also looking at the fact that these other teams are just game planning better? And that's it. And that's okay. Because the Celtics have arrived. They arrived. They basically had three all-stars that could have been playing this year. Jaylen Brown got snubbed. But so you're playing against.
So did Tobias Harris. I mean, come on. Tobias Harris has been the most consistent player for the Sixers, and he should have been considered as an all-star, and I'm sure he was considered, just like Jaylen Brown. So they have three all-stars.
He wasn't in the short list that I saw. He wasn't in the short list that was introduced by Bleacher Report nor ESPN.
All right, but let me just say this, Will. I'll take my Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Tobias up against Kemba, Jaylen, and Tatum, and say I do just fine.
And Marcus Smart.
Oh, please. Then I'll keep going down mine. Josh Richardson. What is your point?
So the point is that, like, we're putting too much blame on Ben Simmons and too much blame on Embiid, when it's just the fact, it's just that they're still trying to learn how to groove with each other, including Al Horford. They're still learning how to groove each other, and give them credit when credit is due. And just these other teams are just kind of game planning a little bit better. But once the 76ers get their games together, they're going to be elite. You just have to.
All right, let me just tell you, Will, Daniel Theis should not be able to keep Embiid from scoring. He should not be able to hold Embiid to one of 11 shooting. End of story. You know that. The world knows that. I mean, we watch basketball. What am I giving credit, or where am I lacking giving credit to a team that is 9-17 on the road? I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. Get it together. All right, let's go to Garrett. Garrett, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, Dean, how are you?
I'm okay.
I just wanted to talk about the Sixers and then talk about the Super Bowl real fast.
Sure.
So I've been hearing a lot of calls about the Sixers, and I think, you know, listen, I think we have a lot of talent on this team. I think our biggest issue, and I think it's kind of obvious, is that this talent just doesn't mesh.
I would agree with you that that is the problem, if you call it. I mean, if we're trying to pinpoint what the issue is that it is not fluid on a consistent basis.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, playing bully ball. And, you know, we expected that, you know, Brett Brown would kind of have that experience coming from San Antonio, where they, you know, they had that with, you know, Tim Duncan.
Tim and David.
David Robinson and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest thing that we're running into, and you know, is Brett Brown was hired when this team was, you know, going through a transition to kind of be that leader to get us through it. But now that we're through that transition and we're looking to take that step up to being an elite, you know, Eastern Conference, you know, NBA championship type of team, I don't think Brett Brown is the coach to do that. And, you know, I think that if we continue on this path, that, you know, Brett Brown should be gone after this year and give somebody the opportunity to coach, you know, the homegrown talent like Embiid and Ben Simmons before, you know, we go out and make a blockbuster trade. Because,
I think that will be the first choice. Because the investment is too great in those two guys.
Yeah.
And so I do believe you're on the right path, that that will be a choice before trading either one of them.
If we're looking for a short term, you know, possibly give us a jump start kind of thing for the rest of the season.
Yes.
You know,
let me hear
it. The three names I like are Derrick Rose, Chris Paul, and maybe Iguodala. I think Iguodala is somebody that could come in and help us play better defense, and knows Philadelphia. I think the fans would like that kind of pickup. He could play that point forward position to help Ben Simmons not have to dribble the ball up all the time. And he's still somebody that can shoot the three and defend. He's a two-way player.
Well, first of all, his team is playing better basketball, so I'm not sure they want to get rid of him at this point because they're, like I said, and Memphis, actually, he'll be here on Friday. So you can get an up-close and personal look at him, but it'll be the day after the trade deadline. So you'll either see him in a Sixers jersey or you'll see him in a Memphis jersey, one way or the other.
I think the most realistic option is probably Derrick Rose.
I'm just going to tell you that what Detroit wants is a draft pick that is, you know, as close to the lottery, if not lottery, so top 12. And the Sixers in years past have had something like that. They don't have that to offer to them. And there are other teams that can.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that they've made it very clear what they want in return. And the Sixers don't have what they want. So,
yeah.
The Chris Paul one, I'd have to look at his numbers, but the one thing I said about the Chris Paul, I'm not a big fan of trading for older. That's always, to me, dangerous because you seem to get them on their downside, but I can't argue with the fact that he still produces right now. And
yeah,
I don't think they have the money to trade for Chris Paul, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Even if you gave up Richardson, I'm going to look it up, but I don't think they have the money for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But I'm not opposed to seeing Ben Simmons play with a point guard of that elite talent, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And all the talk is always, Ben is our point guard. Ben is our point guard. And, you know, yesterday I'm seeing Furkan Korkmaz bring the ball up the court on consecutive possessions. And Ben's on the floor. So, you know, what are you talking about? You're willing to put the ball in other people's hands. You have no chance of getting Chris Paul. He's worth $38
million. The other thing I heard about that I think would make a lot of sense, too, is possibly like a Tobias Harris for D'Angelo Russell type of trade.
They're not going to do that, I don't think. I mean, I think of their starters, the only guy that they would part ways with right now would be Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
I think the investment in the... Well, first of all, Tobias has been your most consistent guy. I don't think you have any problem with who he is. Now, if you are so sure, and I'm not so sure that D'Angelo Russell coming back to me is better than what I get out of Tobias... I don't see that. So Tobias to me has been your most consistent. And Bede and Simmons are here until the foreseeable future when they don't work out for somebody else who coaches them. So those three to me are off the table. You got Al and you got Josh. Horford obviously ages against him and the contract is pretty significant. Richardson is young and has a very favorable contract and has a lot of upside to his game. So, to me, he's the guy in your starting lineup that people want.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Then I just wanted to touch base on the Super Bowl tonight.
Yep.
I think this is finally the year that Big Red gets his championship.
That'd be fun to watch.
I know he's kind of got a stigma of being a coach that kind of chokes in the big games, you know, as far as, you know, the Eagles. 4 years in a row in the NFC Championship game and then losing to the Patriots. But, you know, I think this team, the Chiefs team that he's coaching with Patrick Mahomes and the offense that they have, as long as their defense shows up at all tonight, I don't even see this one being close. I think the Chiefs win by at least 10.
Oh, wow. All right. I like it. Garrett, I hope you enjoy watching it.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate the conversation. Wow, 10. I don't know. I just feel like the 49ers are balanced. But I hear you. Mahomes is a magician, and he does have a lot of offensive weapons. We'll see. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Phil in Bristol. Phil, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Well, it could be a lot better if the Sixers were playing better. I would have been more excited about watching the Super Bowl tonight, but... figuring it's going to be better than last year's game, I think it's going to be a terrific game. And I remember the 49ers being in a 48, I think 46 game with New Orleans earlier in the season.
Wow, you think
terrific game?
You think it's going to be that kind of high scoring?
I have a feeling it really will be. I think they're going to take off once they get loosened up, and then they're going to have they're going to be rolling. It's going to be fun. Fun to watch.
All right. I like it.
Hopefully Andy can win it here. A lot of people rooting for him. But on the other side, here with the Sixers, I watch, I analyze, I listen to Yubi Brown analyze, man. He's like your dad analyzing the game.
You do learn learn something when you listen to those guys.
You really do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, they're down 8 going into the third quarter, okay?
Yep.
And we come out, and Yubi and myself couldn't understand why the first 6 out of 8 shots were threes.
Yep.
All missed by the
way. I know.
And you know what? It doesn't make sense. I like why this guy can't control this game. I mean, I was saying, and I don't usually say it, but really sooner than later, I don't know how much, let's see what happens with this trade deadline and whatever. But if I have to look maybe to a Jason Kidd or something like that, you know, if I have to do something with an experienced coach to come in, like one of your previous callers was saying, I mean, Brett coached all the losers for a few years and all. You know, then he got these guys, and you know, and he's doing the best he can, okay? But well, for us, is that good enough? And you know what? You mentioned it earlier also. Before you get rid of one of the two big guys, you know, coach is going to have to go first. So Hopefully he could turn it around. Let's admit it. We were for a few shots that Kawhi made last year, and I was on Brett and with the subs last year. And then in that last game, if you look it up, I think our five starters played 40. They averaged 40 minutes. Okay, five starters
in the postseason.
In the last game.
Oh, last game. Yeah.
In the last game. Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? And in the playoffs, we have more games. There's more in between, get rested days and things like that. So we need to get healthy. I will disagree on one thing, and that's the Richardson thing. He gives us defense also. So
I know.
I want him out until after the All-Star break. We have to go with it. You know, bite our tongue, just go with it till after the All-Star break, because I don't want that hamstring to act up again. We need him going inside, penetrating. And, you know, we need another guard to step up. If it's going to be Shake Milton, please, not Neto, please. He and Korkmaz showed the other night, you know, and I don't mind Korkmaz for a little bit. But here's my thing about what we need, okay?
I'm listening.
With our team, just opinion.
Yeah.
We don't have, like you said, a lot of assets at all. And I don't want to give up Richardson.
You don't have movable. I mean, you have assets,
right,
not the ones you want to move.
Right, but we could still get a few fringe players that could help this team get over the top. And a couple guys are out there on last year contracts, and they're the Morris brothers or two. One had 28 the other night.
Markieff is the one that you... Well, whatever. Yes, the Morris brothers.
48 the other night, but they're both on one-year contracts.
I know.
But they might not be on their teams next year because, you know, they're good enough. They could maybe go get another 1 year and make a little more somewhere else. Or
yeah,
whatever.
That's fine.
And I would like one of them, if possible. I have to give up a little bit. But I also would like to bring back a guy who now is not playing as much, but he had a real nice game the other night. He gets in Popovich's doghouse very easily, and now he's on his last year. And that's Bellinelli, bringing him back for a short amount of time. Did you see what Vince Carter did to us the other night?
I absolutely.
In the short amount of minutes that he played.
I saw what Embiid did not do to Vince Carter.
That's what I saw. That's true, but see, that has to come from the coach.
Some of it comes from the coach, but the other part... When I know that I got a guy who's smaller than me by a lot, and he's 43 years old, and I'm in my 20s, and I got you by X number of pounds, and I don't take you to the low block, I mean, it may come from the sideline not yelling loud enough. But
all right, and here's another thing. You just said that. Like in last night's game, where they really didn't have a big center that could take this guy
one-on-one,
and they would have to foul him. He shot, how many foul shots? He was 9 for 9, I think.
Yes.
He should have been 17 for 18.
Which is?
He should have been in there more. Brett should have said, get the ball to the big guy. He touches the ball inside before it goes back out. That's what I want for tonight.
Phil, I appreciate the phone call. I agree with you. If Trae Young can get 20 free throw attempts, Embiid can get 20 for sure. And then Trae win 18 for 20, Embiid, I'll take my chances. 610-632-0975. Eric, you're up first on the other side. Carl, Phil, I hope you'll hang on too. I want to hear what you have to say. Join the conversation here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Toss it on the move to the corner. Here's Brad Wintermaker down to Ojale, and nobody guarded Semi Ojale, and he dunks it. Breakdown, good pass by Smart, an even better dish by Jaylen Brown, and Boston gets a dunk.
So the NBA trade deadline is this Thursday, February 6th at 3 o'clock Eastern. Philadelphia 76ers would obviously love to improve their current roster. They are 9-17 on the road after last night's 116-95 loss to the Celtics. And I had somebody on Twitter, Scott E., saying Iguodala doesn't play minutes for Memphis. He's essentially a holdout. He will be traded or bought out. My point about Iguodala was because Memphis is playing better, trading him to get something for him is more likely than just letting him go. You would have let him go before because, you know, you're not playing good basketball and you'll just shed that. I would agree with you that if you're somebody out there, you're saying, why am I going to trade him? Because him getting bought out seems more likely, so I should wait it out. You can do that. They got to buy out his $17 million. And I would say whoever gets him, unless you are the Golden State Warriors, that's where I think he ends up next year. So we'll see. But yes, it just seems possibility is, again, that you're not trading for him. You're waiting to see. And if you're waiting to see, would you be the contender that lands him? Shall see. The Bellinelli was an interesting one. It seems to me to fit more what they need just because of his history of what he gave the last time you brought him in. And sure, it was a couple of years ago, but I'd take my chances. 610-632-0975. I think the Morris brothers are both, again, both on one-year deals. Maybe you can get something done there. I think the thing that, in my opinion, if nothing happens, the patience of seeing what the buyout market is worthy. But it's hard because you'll see other teams make moves. And if Elton Brand isn't able to do that, it's putting a lot in the buyout market. Because I think a lot of people say, if this is the roster that is supposed to finish the next 32 games and then get through multiple rounds in the postseason and get to the NBA Finals, that's going to be a tall order. Because as Brett Brown said last night, as looking at the product last night, they are not equipped to go into the playoffs and be successful. 610-632-0975. We check in with Eric in Brookhaven. Eric, what's going on? I love Brookhaven. I went to kindergarten there.
How you doing, Dave?
How are you?
I'm going to say something. I know people are going to crucify me.
Nah, I won't let them.
I just want to say what you could do is you could trade Embiid, okay, in the offseason. Because when Embiid is on his rest workload, he don't play that much. And when he was injured, the Sixers like to run. And with Embiid not there, that's what the Sixers want to do is run that ball. He clogs that middle up for other guys to get their shot. Am I right or wrong?
That he is, no. I don't think he's in the paint enough by any stretch.
But, D, you got to look at it. When he's hurt, when he was hurt, that ball got them. The Sixers was running. They was running, shooting, playing D. He slows them down. He slow them down. I'm telling you, if you trade him in the offseason and get
I'm not going to dispute that he plays a slower brand of basketball. I'm not disputing that. I will dispute with you that they were getting up and down in his absence. You may say it was more fluid, but getting up and down, I wouldn't say that.
I know this old coach.
I'm just going to tell you. They scored 108 against the Lakers. They scored 95 against the Raptors. Okay, they had 117 against the Nets. They scored all of 90 points against the Knicks and 100 against the Bulls. How much further do you want me to go back in his absence?
I'm just saying, Eric. That's the way I feel because I like to see them run. I want to see them.
Let me ask you, are those point totals telling you they were running? Well, if they were running, they were missing a lot of shots.
Well,
I just told you, against a Knicks team, they scored 90 points.
Yeah, you told me.
Against a Bulls team that is so bad, they scored 100.
I know.
Oh, man.
I want to see Brett Brown go to a Doug Moe offense. I want to see that.
I will say this. I think that pace was of greater importance in previous seasons with him than it is this year. Now, I think that could have more to do than just Embiid. I think that's Al Horford. I think that's Tobias Harris. Yes, you have a Ben Simmons who going downhill beats anybody, lights out. But I think that bully ball has slowed them down, not just Embiid.
Right. Bully ball is not going to work.
Because they're not executing bully ball. They're still trying to be, you know, shoot threes, get up and down with guys who can't get up and down.
You're right, Dave.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's my
opinion. I would like to see that. And I would like to see fast break often. I want to see that run and gun. That's the style I love.
All right. I don't mind the run and gun. I don't think they have enough shooters for that, because I do think when you're a fast break team, you have to have part of your fast break offense be like, let it fly from the 3-point line. And I don't think they have that guy. You know what I mean?
If you looked at Tobias Harris when he played for the Clippers and they was running, Tobias was out on that 3-point line lighting him up when he was with LA.
Oh, yeah. He shot 43%.
See, now, when you slow his game down and get in the set offense, he don't make them three.
Well, actually,
if you run with him, he makes them.
I know, but Eric, I got to tell you, he's actually, after his slow November, he's actually shot a very good percentage from three. But he chooses when he shoots the three. It's not, right. He's not a volume three guy anymore, at least not with this team. But I have no problem with how Tobias has played offensively. I think he's actually been consistent.
I'll tell you what, that's Ben Simmons and Tobias carrying this team. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, no, I'm not going to disagree with you. And I've been a very critical of Ben. But I have said to people, how can you complain about what he is doing for you currently? He's getting to the line and he's shooting, you know, last night it's 9 of 14, night before it's 10 of 15. You can say, well, he doesn't take a jumper. He's 10 of 15. He's taking shots and he's making shots. What do you want him to do?
Right.
So, I mean, but I find it a flawed offense. I do. They're just not a cohesive unit for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to say, thank you for taking my call, D.
I appreciate it. Erica, are you going to watch the big game tonight?
Go Chiefs.
Big Red.
Patrick Mahomes.
All right. Patrick Mahomes, Big Red. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for joining the conversation. And I'm going to, I think that the Sixers are like middle of the pack in terms of fast break points. I'm going to look it up during the break. And then we're going to come back and continue this conversation with Rodney and Paul and Brian and Dominic and David. Hang tight. I want to give you your full time. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Wanamaker has it. Wanamaker to the line. Wide open three. It's good. Grand Wanamaker now with 14 off the bench. Boston by 20 with 4:35 to go.
It's a beautiful Sunday in the Delaware Valley. At least I think so. I'm indoors, but Every day is a good day, right? Super Bowl Sunday. A lot of people like to gather with friends and family, eat a lot of food, watch the big game. And this could be a little different. I do remember for the Eagles in 2017, I did go to a local establishment and it was packed with people. I did not have my family around because I am the other half of my family is from a place called Boston. So they were elsewhere. Let's just say that.
Uh-oh is right.
The only Super Bowl I ever went to was in 2004, and that was when the Patriots played Carolina in Houston, and it was a really good Super Bowl game, and that was the only one. And I went as a fan, which was super cool. I was in Jacksonville when the Eagles were preparing for playing the Patriots, but I left on Sunday right before the game to fly home, which was highly recommend. If you're not interested in being at the game, it's perfect time to go to the airport. You get all the stuff that leads up to the Super Bowl, and then you get to fly with ease. So those are my two Super Bowl experiences. 610-632-0975. I am D-Lineham. I am with you until 4 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We've been talking a lot about the Sixers, who last night fell 116-95 to the Boston Celtics. They still win the season series 3-1. They still have trouble winning on the road, and that doesn't seem to be getting, well, it doesn't appear that it will get any easier, because then tomorrow night they will be in Miami. I was just looking up Jimmy Butler's numbers. So he's averaging better than 20 points. He gets you 7 rebounds, and he gets you 6 assists. Those numbers aren't that different than Ben. Ben gets you 17 points. He gets you 8 rebounds and 7.5. I think 7 assists as well. I don't know. They're not that different. The one thing I like about Jimmy, he gets to the line. Now, Ben's been getting to the line, and I love that. Love that. Jimmy averages 9 free throw attempts per game. Ben right now is at 5, but over this stretch, like where he's really coming into his own, last night he got you 9. He made 5. Jimmy will make you 80-plus percent at the line. But I'm just saying, it's not that different. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Paul in Margate. Paul, how's it going? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing? I'd like to talk two things about the Sixers.
Yes.
One, Brett Brown, and the other, the philosophy of their offense.
Okay.
Brett Brown's situation now, if you don't make a change now when you have some practice time coming up at the playoffs, then you can't make it till the end of the year. Now, there are two guys that theoretically are available, Jesse Ngundi and Tom Thibodeau, that could turn this team around with 30 games, 35 games left, because they would play a different style, and you'd have some time to practice that. His style, shoot 48 threes in a game, is ridiculous, because the type of threes, and this gets you to their philosophy of offense, the type of threes they shoot are hardly ever standstill threes where you get a pass out of the post. Remember when Tony DeLea was coaching the Sixers and we played Orlando in the playoffs?
I do remember that series, yeah.
And Dwight Howard was underneath the center. We would double-team him all the time. He'd never get out from under there. He would pass it out to Turklu. They would make another pass and wide-open standstill three-pointers. And they killed us with that, especially in the last game. They're the kind of threes, if you want to shoot threes, you have to do. Your center can't be shooting them out there. He should be in the post. And once that double team comes out, don't dribble, pass the ball, move it around, and hit threes that way. I mean, this whole thing of 48 threes, the other day, ridiculous.
Well, that's not their norm. Last night they shot 33.
Yeah, okay, that's still too many for them, the way they shoot. I mean, the ball should be in the, and then be shooting 3 and 4 of them, where your center shouldn't be shooting them at all. They should be other guys shooting.
Well,
the philosophy is just way out of whack.
Well, I'm not going to dispute that, but I will say the stretch 4, the stretch 5 is part of the NBA game now. It's not just the Sixers. I mean, if you want to go, Lopez has made himself an outside shooter when he never, ever shot threes. I would say he's hurt, but DeMarcus Cousins did the same thing and added that to his game. If we go to the stretch fours, you know, they're up and down. We can go everybody, but
Lopez also has a guy who's playing underneath in the Greek.
Yes.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a little different.
Because that's technically what Ben can do.
Well, we don't do that with them, though. We don't put him on the outside.
In fairness, you know? That is how they've been. If you look, what has Ben doing? He's floating along that baseline a ton more than he ever did before.
Yeah, but we're not feeding the ball to him in the post like they do.
You don't feed him in the post. I would say you run him in pick and roll, and you will throw alley-oops to him. If a Josh is out there, he looks for him in that regard.
But we tended to say in the beginning, we're going to play bully ball. And you're saying
they haven't done that.
They're going to do it, and they made the trades to do it, and they haven't tried that. And it's who's that? That's the coach. I mean, he seems to be going against Elton Brand's philosophy now. Elton Brand made the trades for these guys, whether Brett Brown agreed with the trades or not. The point is, he made the trades for these guys, and they said they're going to play bully ball, and we're firing threes on the run, on fast breaks, and we don't have those kind of shooters.
So let me ask you a question. I feel like sometimes they seem to me to be a team that looks like they're caught between who they are and analytics of the current game.
Correct. Meaning
the current status of the league and
you got to make one choice or the other.
Correct.
You don't have to play the current game if you don't think
right. So the way
that.
So analytics is telling them, you know, well, if you play bully ball and they're all shooting threes, you're going to be losing because they're getting three when you get two. It's like not if I shoot a higher percentage and I depend on my good defense, then I don't care.
And when a team is supposed to be playing bully ball, we should be shooting more foul shots. But we're not because we're not playing bully ball. We're not getting a ball inside. We shoot less fouls almost every time, every game we play somebody. Horford should be getting 5 to 7 foul shots a game, and Beads should get his 10. But that's because we're firing threes a man. I think the other team wants us to shoot.
And I think you can't take it away from him. And Embiid mostly gets his free throws. Like last night, he got 9. I would prefer that he gets at least averages double digits. I think he is slightly below that. I think he's at 9. You're right. His teammates, now that's why I've been applauding Ben, because Ben's getting to the line now. And
you just mentioned Butler. He's averaging 9 free throws
a game.
6 foot 4 guard.
Yep.
Okay. He's not a 7 footer.
No, because he attacks the paint.
Exactly right. Yeah. And he's underneath.
Yep.
And they seem to be caught between two different philosophies of playing ball.
One seems to be
the general manager's philosophy, and one's the coach's. And they gotta settle. Either get another coach, a guy like Van Gundy or Thibodeau, who would throw the ball in the middle. They would play off of Embiid more and let him stay the hell under the basket and where he belongs.
I'm going to look, Paul, and I appreciate the phone call, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm going to look. I think it is very difficult to come midstream. I think most midstream coaches come and improve upon what was because it's a new voice, but usually it's a team that's not contending. And I'm going to see if I can think of one change that happened midstream, not in the offseason. I mean, look at Mark Jackson and then go to Steve Kerr. I mean, that's goes from good to great. But that's in the offseason. I don't know that people do that midstream with a contender. Now, you may say this is an unusual situation because they are not contending currently, being a 6th seed in their conference. And others will tell me how close they are to being something better than that. And I would say to you, really? I mean, there's only 32 games left. I'm beyond half. And then some. And it's still the 6th seed. So it's a little off. 610-632-0975. Rodney, you're up next on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.